You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET is what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com. And use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. And we're brought to you by Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is the only performance-based sportsbook stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes. Use promo code SGP to receive a free athlete share with your first deposit of $20 or more. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, up on the sunny northeast coast of England in Newcastle. Joining us to pick apart a very busy weekend. We haven't spoken since Friday, so there's been lots of stuff going on in the playoffs over the weekend. We'll analyse it all for you with Mr. Munaf Manji. Munaf, how are you?
I'm struggling a little this morning, but it's been a busy weekend, but here we are. It's 10 o'clock my time, and we have a game going off in under right about 2 hours from now. So, yeah, like you said, a lot to unpack here since we spoke last, on Friday. But yeah, we had some exciting baseball over the weekend. Can't wait to unpack everything.
Yeah, it was Friday. Yeah, we're probably not going to get this show out in time to handicap the early game, which is the Brewers and the Braves game. But We'll certainly have this game make some picks before the later games go off. So everyone should get there in time for that. Well, I saw a photo of you and Mrs. Munaf looking very glamorous, the two of you.
Yeah, we said when we spoke with Dave, I said we had a wedding this weekend. It was my wife's first cousin's wedding. So, we partied hard starting, I think it was Thursday, all the way through Saturday night. And then we had some stuff to do yesterday. But it was a lot of fun, I know we were talking the other day that, Indian weddings can go anywhere from 2 days to up to a week. But luckily, luckily this one was about 2.5-3 days. It's a lot of fun with his groomsmen and obviously with the families and a lot of food, a lot of dancing. So it was a lot of fun. I'm starting a little froggy this morning, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was good to see everybody after, with whole COVID going on and we haven't seen relatives from out of town and things like that. But I had a lot of fun.
Was there any horses involved, Muna?
No, this wedding didn't have any horses. There was another wedding that was happening the same weekend or around the same time. And I was on social media. He had a horse, but no, unfortunately, this one didn't have it.
Oh, that's disappointing. That's one of my favorite things about going to an Indian wedding is getting the horses involved. I do enjoy that. I went out on Saturday night on debut as a business owner with my very own casino, which went off pretty much without incident. Although, I've been ill ever since, Moon. I don't know if I ate something dodgy. But if you'd spoke to me yesterday, I was a lovely shade of green. I've been turning myself inside out ever since. So I think maybe it was the crash. I've been worried about going out all week. And once it was done, I think my body just gave up on me. But I'm here now and I'm the same colour as the wall behind me. I'm that grey colour. You can barely make me out. You can see a couple of eyeballs in there somewhere, but that's about it. So, I am gunmetal grey. But I'm here for the baseball, Munaf. And it was a great weekend. It really was a fun weekend. The games were tight, as you'd expect. A lot of people did what we expected them to do. The stellar pitching matchups all sort of came down on the unders. People like Charlie Morton and Max Fried all pitched really well. And then there was a couple of wild games as well.
Yeah, this was this, you know, I think we can start with the game ones that we had talked about with Johnny and Scott, and also with obviously the sports consig Dave. Yeah, game ones, it was pretty simple. It was home teams 4-0, and all four games went under the total. So, you know, we were harping on the unders with Dave all episode long when we had him on, and they were almost like sweat free ones, especially the one at the Brewers and the Braves game. We had talked about how Charlie Morton was a big time game pitcher, and then also Corbin Burns, who's had a Cy Young caliber season, right up there in the conversation for Cy Young. Both of these guys were absolutely stellar. I think that Braves finally broke it out in, I think, sixth inning or seventh inning. They scored one, and then I think that same inning, Rowdy Tellez hit a two-run home run in the seventh inning to give the Braves a lead 2-1. And, you know, the bullpen of the Braves has been good all season long. They closed it out in game one there. And then I know we'll go series by series, but again, that was pretty much the story, at least as far as game ones.
Yeah, I think we also mentioned, and we were kind of right, that those very early games seemed to set the tone. I know it's difficult to, I'm not clumping games in together, but they did seem to set the tone for the rest of the games as well. Yeah. It seemed to set the tone for the start off of the series, and that those early games almost dictated the type of games that we were going to get. And once we got on that trend, I think we were right to follow those trends. So we had picked apart the picks that we made in the middle of last week, like you say, with Dave and Johnny Junter, who were on. So our weekend picks then, we've sort of headed over to Tally Site Moon after unpack the rest of our picks for a couple of reasons here, because this Friday, Saturday, Sunday picks were over there on tallysite.com, all indeed embedded on the SGPN website. There is another reason we'll get to in a minute. So I'm being where I've been all season, Moon, off 11-9, 55%. Be doing okay though. Me average return on investment has been $9.11. I seem to have got an entire game wrong. So over the weekend, I got Atlanta and Milwaukee right. I got San Francisco and the LA Dodgers right. And then I've got the other two wrong. So I've been sort of one right, one wrong all the way along. But I have kept my head above water, 11-9. But your picks, Moon, have been absolutely on fire, which is the second reason we brought it up.
Yeah, it's been a great weekend as far as picking over on Tally side, like you said, and then, you know, getting it over on our website. 16-5 over the 21 available picks, we can say, between the spread, the totals, and the money lines. I think that, you know, I was actually thinking about this last night before I was going to bed. I was like, I think it really helped that we had a podcast almost every single day between you and myself, and then whichever guests that we had on respectively throughout the week. And it really helps when we're talking through these games, right? And we broke down every single game. We talked about the pitchers, their history against their opponent, their home road splits. And I think that was what really helped me throughout this week. But I think most of it was the total, right? I went 7-1 over on the totals. And I think that's what really boosted me up at 16-5 overall. And you know, it's been a great weekend, and hopefully we can continue that over into this week, because we have more games. We have four more games today, and we will throughout the week. So definitely check out all of our picks over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Just hit that MLB tab. You'll see MLB picks. You'll see three separate tabs. When you scroll down, there's a money line if we're picking totals, and also on the run line also. So great start to the playoffs here between both of us. You said we're going to crush it, and I think we're well on track to do that.
Yeah, I'm going to blow your trumpet for you a little bit more, Moon. I'm going to read along your start line, which is a 76% accuracy rate, and it's 16-5. A 42.6% return on investment, with your average winnings at $8.70, making for a level $10 stake, Moon, after you are $89.52 up. So $90 up since the playoffs started, for a $10 stake. So you can't argue that. The nearest competitor, Moonath, is on $33. So there's no one within $57 of you. Don't undersell it when you're absolutely blowing everybody out the water like that. Is that okay?
That's okay. No, it was honestly a more of a team effort here, you know. But you know, I'll take the pat on the back, but you know, it's not going to mean anything if I have a crappy.
Well, if you want to add on my $10.26 profit of that moon off, I mean, all that, that takes us to 100.
There we go.
You're 90 and my 10. There you go. We've won you three figures, everybody.
There you go.
We've won you three figures over the last week. The makeup of it isn't important. We're just getting down to the bottom line here. Yeah. So what we're going to do tonight, we said we've got three games going off later on tonight. So hopefully we'll get this out in the next couple of hours or so. We'll give you plenty of time to listen and get involved on those games tonight. Moonafts, we're going to start. We'll get this Braves Brewers series looked at first. You've done the game notes for this one. The series is tied at 1-1. And there have been a couple of good games. And then game three tonight, which is Freddie Peralta and Ian Anderson. But yeah, how have you seen this series so far?
Yeah, this series, the runs have been at a premium, right? And I think we've talked about how this, especially for the Brewers, they have great pitchers between their top three guys, between Corbin Burnes, Brandon Woodruff, and you have Freddie Peralta going later this afternoon for the Brewers. But I think the bigger story in this series has been the lack of runs scored by the Brewers. They've only scored two runs in about two games, and that's not going to, you know, get you very many victories. Especially in game two, I know we already talked about game one, but game two, I thought Max Fried was in a very, very good spot being a left-handed pitcher because the Brewers have really struggled against lefties all season long. And lo and behold, they didn't score a single run in game two. The Braves got three against the Brewers and Brandon Woodruff to even up the series at 1-1. And we're headed off to here game three that goes off, like I said, in a couple hours between Freddie Peralta and Ian Anderson.
Yeah, I think as you point out, the Brewers against the left-handed pitching has been a bit of an issue. And the Braves particularly, I don't think, had to be too good to win that division. I mean, Jorge Soler has made some adjustments at the plate, but he's not. You can get him out. Same with Ozzie Albies. If you get him from the left-hand side, you can get him out as well. He's much easier out. I actually think tonight's game, although we're not covering it, I think tonight's game goes over. Just because I think there's a potential blow-up in both of these pitchers. The Brewers do have a better pen for me. So I think as we go deeper into the series, I do think the Brewers are going to get over the line. But I think this one tonight, I think we could see something maybe along the lines of a 5-4 tonight. You're going to have a quick look at the numbers, Moon. After you put up numbers for Freddie Peralta and Ian Anderson.
Yeah, cool. I'll just quickly go through it. You know, Freddie Peralta has a great season overall. We've talked about, you know, the three Brewers pitchers all season long. But he is starting on the road this game three in Atlanta. So he has a 5-2 record with a 2.70 ERA on the road. One start against the Braves, which was back in May. He went six innings, allowed two hits, zero unearned, eight strikeouts. The bullpen, again, we talked about how great the bullpen has been for the Brewers, but they almost blew this game. They gave up nine earned runs after the six shutout innings by Freddie Peralta, but Brewers were able to hang on to win that game 10-9. I believe they were up like 5-0 in that game after five innings. But and then, like we mentioned, Ian Anderson is on the mound for the Braves, 9-5, 3.58 ERA, 1.23 WHIP. Pretty great record at home. He's 5-1, 3.52 opponent batting average of .207. He has one start against Milwaukee, which was in that weekend series, May 15th. Six innings, two hits, one earned run, four walks, four strikeouts for Ian Anderson. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, like you mentioned, if you think you're going to see runs, maybe wait till an in-game opportunity where the total might be even lower. And if we're anticipating that the bullpens do blow it up, because they've been going through so many pitchers, like we'll get to in some of these other series. So there might be opportunities for you to find a better number live in game.
Yeah, I think we're at the stage now where you just have to empty the clip every night. They're elimination games. You have to see them like that. And like you say, just go for it every night. This was something that the Consig put us onto last week about kind of in play, just waiting for your moment, whether or not you want to keep back in the unders, which the Consig was alluding to last week. But equally, if you've got a feeling there's a blow up coming, wait for your spot and maybe you could get on after 3-4 innings, something like that.
Yep.
The series a bit closer to your heart, then, Moonaf. White Sox versus your local Houston Astros.
Mm-hmm.
Houston leader 2-1.
Yep.
It was a fun weekend. The Astros did look like they were going to run away with it. And then the White Sox, all of a sudden, decided to score some runs last night. So it's been a bit of a bit of a topsy-turvy one, Moonaf. How have you seen this?
Yeah, the Astros secure business at home, game one, 6-1 victory. Lance McCullers, we talked about, you know, he continued his dominance at home. Jordan Alvarez and I think Carlos Correa were the two guys leading the Astros in hitting for them in game one. And then game two, I think the bats opened up a little bit here. It was a really bad start for both of these pitchers. They both allowed 4 earned runs each within the first 4 innings. Turned it over to the bullpens. And it, at that point, it became which bullpen can hold up. And it was shockingly the Astros bullpen. The Astros added 5 runs in that bottom of the 7th inning. The bullpen pretty much shut it down after, I believe, Framber Valdez left that game. Over the course of 4 2/3 innings by the Astros bullpen, they only allowed 4 hits, didn't give up any runs. So they got the 9-4 victory there. And then we'll fast forward to last night. This game had, you know, all the ups and downs, a roller coaster that you could probably want, controversies, missed called strikes, all of that good stuff. But at the end, you know, the White Sox got the 12-6 victory. You know, Luis Garcia had a clear third strike that was not called. It was right at the top of the zone. Clearly, you know, they showed the little strike zone when pitchers are pitching, and it was a clear third strike and the umpire didn't call it. And lo and behold, we know when there's either an error or a miscalled strike that something bad's going to happen. We've talked about this all season long, Malcolm.
Yep.
And after that, I think the White Sox tacked on 5 more after that miscalled strike. They took a 6-5 lead. The Astros came back to tie it up 6-6. But after that, the bats of the White Sox really got white hot, and they added about 6 more throughout the game and then got the victory 12-6. More importantly, or more controversially, after the game, the bullpen reliever that came in for the White Sox called out the Astros for saying that he's thinking that they're stealing signs again at Minute Maid Park in Houston, that he said that there were a lot more swings and misses in Chicago than there were in Houston. So here we go with the controversy again. I'm sure the MLB is really watching the Astros after what's happened over the past couple of years, but we'll see what happens. But, you know, the White Sox got one. We have game 4 going off tonight. But yeah, up and down game 3 for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't actually see any of that sign stealing stuff till you just mentioned it. But I mean, as we've said before, surely everybody's doing it. And
yeah,
why don't the White Sox just be better at switching it up then, if that's what they think? I mean, they could have 3, 4, 5 sets of signs. But anyway, there was quite a few odd little plays this week. I mean, it's what baseball's great at. You talk about the ball hitting Grandal. We had the one in the ground rule double last night where the Boston outfielder it hit the wall, then came back and hit him and went over the fence. And I think Boston came down on the right side of that court. Mm-hmm. And then who tripped up for Rosarena as well? Was it maybe Hunter Renfro?
I didn't catch that one.
Rosarena drilled one. In fact, it was the tie and run. And Rosarena had to stop at second because he'd been tripped by the Boston infielder. So there was a few things, but that's just sport. They're sports calls because at some point, the umpires got them right. The Tampa Bay fans were up in arms. The Boston fans were delighted. If they go the other way around, the Tampa Bay fans are delighted. The Boston fans are up in arms. There's not an awful lot you can do. They're just sport calls. That's how sport works. That's why we like sport, because of the unpredictability.
Right.
You take that away and it just sanitized rubbish, and we're not sitting here talking about it. So what do you want to get into game 4 of this series now, Moonaf, or do you want to go through the other two series, what's already happened before we start getting into tonight's game?
We could just go series by series and then, you know.
Okay, and then we'll have a look at tonight,
It'll be easier for the listeners. So, you know, just to recap, the Astros are up 2-1. Game 4 goes off tonight between Jose Urquidy and Carlos Rodon for the Chicago White Sox. I'll quickly go through the numbers for both of these guys. Jose Urquidy, 8-3 on the season at 3.62 ERA. I did see that he did struggle in the month of September. He had an ERA above 4. So it's something definitely to keep in mind there as far as recent form for Jose Urquidy. Road splits for Urquidy, 4-2, 3.86 ERA, opponent batting average of 229. Did have one start against the Chicago White Sox this season, which was back on June 17th. The Astros won that game comfortably 10-2. Seven innings pitched, four hits, two earned runs, and five strikeouts. Meanwhile, like I said, Carlos Rodon on the mound for the Chicago White Sox, 13-5, 2.37 ERA so far on the season, a 0.96 whip. I think one thing that we need to keep in mind for Carlos Rodon is that two things is that towards the end of the season here, and we had discussed this earlier, is that he was dealing with some fatigue and also some, you know, arm soreness because of all the innings that he's pitched so far this season for the Chicago White Sox. And when I was going through his game logs, that he hasn't pitched more than five innings in a game since that July 18th start against the Astros. So it's just going to depend on what the game plan is for Rodon tonight. Is he going to go two, three innings? Is he going to go five innings? What's going to happen? So definitely something to keep in mind. But regardless, Rodon 6-3 at home, 2.26 ERA. Opponents are batting 170 against him. Two dominating starts against Houston. I think this is going to be where it's going to matter to see what Tony La Russa does with Carlos Rodon, because he's been so dominant against the Astros. June 18th, seven innings pitched, three hits, one earned run, eight strikeouts. And then July 18th, a month later, pretty much the same results. Seven innings pitched, only one hit allowed, zero earned runs, and 10 strikeouts. So combine those two starts, he's 1-0 with a 0.64 ERA, 14 innings pitched, four hits, and one earned around, Malcolm.
Yeah, I picked up on that exact same thing, that the five-inning thing. It's clearly got to be managed. It's too much to be a coincidence. There's a couple of three-inning, four-inning starts, but not once is he on. There's not even a 5.1 or a 5.2 in there since July 18. Five has been the absolute limit. Those two starts against Houston do stand out. There's one or two things here has happened, and I'm not good enough to work out which one it is. There's either a little bit of desperation in the White Sox, is that I don't think Rodon was meant to go tonight. I had a feeling it might have been Michael Kopech, but Kopech pitched yesterday, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's either desperation or it's possibly eye test. I mean, you've got to get Tony La Russa got a lot of stick this season. So Rodon will be at the behest of Tony La Russa tonight and the eye test. Now, if he's gone five innings and pitched 71 pitches, like we talked about Nathan Eovaldi going last week, does he immediately pull him, or do you leave him in? Is it completely unflexible analytics, or are we just going to go how we go? So now I don't know if the White Sox have planned this out to an absolute T, or if they're completely playing it off the cuff. They're more than likely somewhere in the middle, but certainly they're having to change things on the fly just a little bit.
I think a different angle, if you want to bet this game in Carlos Rodon, is there's a prop bet that some books offer called total outs issued by a pitcher. And if it's anything above 15.5 outs issued, you probably want to take a look at the under, depending on what the juice is there. But, and maybe the books do catch up on this, but we've seen Malcolm all throughout all four of these series so far, is that some of these pitchers that have gotten off to bad starts, they're getting pulled real quick within two, three innings. So
yeah,
I think a clear example is Chris Sale, and we'll get to that series next, is that he got off to a really bad start in game two for the Red Sox, and he got the hook real quick, and that's supposed to be your ace pitcher. So that under 15.5 or whatever that outs issued number is, that would have cash for you easily.
I think that's just the difference in playoff baseball and elimination games, is that the managers are quick on the trigger, and actually rightly so. The decisions they've made so far in these playoffs, I've had absolutely no problems with. Alex Cora particularly has been getting out there and hooking them at the first sign of trouble. We mentioned Eovaldi, Chris Sale, another one, and absolutely rightly so. So yeah, no problem with that. We'll see how that pans out later on. If you can find a under 15.5 on Carlos Rodon, you might want to get over to WinBet, where you can win and boost your odds on that player prop. WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting. Exclusive rewards are at your fingertips, getting on all your favorite teams, players, and sports. Great promos, odds, and payouts happening right now at WinBet. Boosted parlays, live in-game odds, If you sign up today, you receive a risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download Bet and Win. Download the WinBet app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning. Okay, so we'll move on to another team, and this is where you really have a dog in the fight, Moonaf. Boston v Tampa, which goes off tonight at, I can't remember, sometime after midnight for me. I really enjoyed watching this series. It's just been a load of fun. Boston lead.
Yeah.
2-1. Mm-hmm. Game one was 5-0 to the Rays. Now, we talked about this one, and I had, there was alarm bells ringing for me after this one. I thought it had all the hallmarks of Tampa were just kind of holding Boston at bay. You know, when you see like a big fella having a fight with a midget and the midget's swinging wildly and the big fella has just got his hand on his head and he can't reach him. That Tampa with a big fella in Boston was the little fella. And it just, it was very one-sided and Tampa looked in complete control. However, it's baseball and that was one game. Shane McClanahan pitched really well. There's a couple of doubles in there from Wander Franco, hits from Rosarena and Zunino. I mentioned that because I want to hark back to it in a little while. Rodriguez, E-Rod, didn't get out the second inning, 1.2 inning, pitched two hits, two earned runs, two walks. Game two, 14-6 Red Sox. Chris Sale, we just mentioned, gave up a... actually, the Red Sox got out 2-0 top of the first.
Yeah.
And then Jordan Luplo hit a grand slam off Chris Sale. And that was it. That was pretty much the end of Chris Sale. But Tanner Houck came in, someone we've touted on this podcast a few times. He steadied the ship. The Red Sox at 2 runs in the third and then 5 runs in the fifth and then added on runs in the 7th, 8th and the 9th. Ended up winning 14-6. Michael Wacker came in. Again, a regular on this podcast, someone we faded in the past. He came up, gave us 6 runs. So we're unlikely to see him again, unless it's in a blowout one way or the other. So yeah, they leveled the game up there. And then last night was the really exciting game, probably the best game so far in the playoffs, where Boston beat Tampa 6-4 in 13 innings, a walk-off from Christian Vasquez. Boston kind of looked in control of that one and then gave up a couple of runs in the 8th, went to extra innings, was very nip and tuck, was very exciting. There was all sorts of stuff going on. And then Vasquez hit that 2-run bomb. Were you watching that game, Moon, after did you hit the roof when he hit that?
I did. I was watching. I had that one up on my main screen and I had the football on to the side. So, you know, I'm watching more of these MLB playoffs. You hit everything on the head, Malcolm, there about game three. Lots of up and downs. And again, you know, the bullpen blew it up again for the Red Sox, right? We talked about this when we were previewing the Red Sox in the AL wildcard games that you just didn't trust this bullpen. And they had the 4-2 lead. They let them tie it up. As soon as you knew that controversial call with the ball going over the fence and being ruled a ground rule double, that the next inning something was going to happen for the Red Sox. And that pretty much came to fruition with Vasquez walking it off with a 2-run home run in the bottom of the 13th there. So, I kind of looking back at what happened in the outfield, it's a very tough situation because there's no written rule about it, right? And it's what the broadcast was saying is that's really umpire's discretion. And I think they got on the headphones to the replay review with New York. And I think it was a very, very short. It was maybe like 10 seconds on what they wanted to decide. And at the time when the ball went over the fence, the umpires ruled it a ground rule double, which made, I think it was Diaz or Margot that was on first base who had rounded third before the ball went over the fence. So it sucks both ways. We talked about it earlier. I mean, for Rays fans, it sucks. For the Red Sox fans, you're happy about it. But even if they had one run that scored, I think they had Luis Patino, who we've been fading all season long. I even tweeted this out. If the Red Sox can get to Patino, they're going to lose this game. And lo and behold, bottom of the 13th, they were able to get to him and hit that 2-run home run. So a bit of a luck, I guess you can say, for the Red Sox in game three.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you, I've got some live drama here, Moonaf, because I'm sitting in front of Sky Sports News.
Okay.
And there's a breaking news banner and a picture of the Newcastle manager, Steve Bruce, who I've been wanting sacked for 3 years. So I've just paused it, and I will I'll remain on tenterhooks for the final 15 or 20 minutes until we finish this podcast. And I'll press play and hopefully get the news that they've sacked the cabbage.
There we go.
So there you go. So I'll pause that. So yeah, I'm a little bit more excited now. So tonight, game four is... Colin McHugh against Eduardo Rodriguez again. It's a pick 'em. Both teams are at -110. We've got an over-under at 9.5. Can't quite work out why this is a pick 'em. I think it's probably because of the presence of Colin McHugh. So Colin McHugh is generally a long reliever. He gave up 3 runs over 1.2 innings in that blowout last Friday night, but it's his regular season numbers we're more interested in. You're 6-1. With a 1.55 ERA, he pitched 64 innings in 37 appearances this season. He pitched 3 innings only 4 times, so don't expect him to go any deeper than that. I'm looking at a piggyback starter here for Tampa Bay, something that they've made one of their very own things over the last few years. Eduardo Rodriguez, 13-8, 4.74. Obviously, got hit last Friday in that start against Tampa. He started against Tampa 4 times this season. One really good start, one really bad start, and then some kind of bits in between. It's all rather underwhelming, I think. we've got a 3 earned runs on 6. We've got a 2 earned runs on 5. Then we've got a 0 on 6, and we've got a 6 on 3. So they can get to him in. Something that did come to my attention today, and this doesn't bode well at all, I think, for the next 2 nights, is how well Tampa hit left-handers, the OBP, because we've got potentially Chris Sale going in game 5 if it's required. The OBP is some of these left-handed hitters for Tampa Bay. Mike Zunino, 419. Wanda Franco, 418. Rosarena, 386. Diaz, 367, and then Margot down to 346. Expect all of them to be in the lineup tonight. So I'm unfortunately, Moonaf, I am foreseeing some problems both tonight and tomorrow for your Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's why I've been kind of cautiously optimistic about the Red Sox here, especially what you just said with left-handed pitching going up against this Rays, against the Rays bats. Erod, man, it's really hard to tell on what you're going to get out of him, like you mentioned. I mean, that box score is very inconsistent for him, his game logs, and the way the pattern's going right now, it seems like that he should have a good start today, but again, I'll have to kind of look at his home splits and how he does at home versus a road. But it's the same opponent, right? You're going up against the Rays, like you mentioned, that they are crushing left-handed pitching. So I think you do kind of have to give the credit. You have to get some type of credit to the Red Sox for the way they were able to battle back in game 2. They got out to the 2-0 lead, gave up the grand slam to Chris Sale, and then, you know, they fought back and they won that game 14-6. But I think, again, I think this is another game where you kind of want to look at these pitchers that are starting that, like you mentioned, with Rodriguez not having great luck against the Rays, and then Colin McHugh gave up 3 runs over 1 2/3 of an inning on Friday. And then you can look at the total outs issued. Again, if you're finding a number that's 12 outs, 13, 14 outs, you might want to take a look at taking the under, because if we see these pitchers struggling, that hook is going to come real fast, especially for the Rays, because they are in an elimination game now, right, Malcolm?
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. My picks, it won't surprise you, they're going to come from that game, but we'll get to those in a little minute. Finally, Moonaf, is the Dodgers and the Giants. Just before you pick that apart, if you get across to Prop Swap, it's America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. The MLB playoffs in full swing. PropSwap is your home for the best World Series futures. All season long, PropSwappers have been finding the best odds in the country because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time. So your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Thousands of bettors across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. As far as any hedging opportunities, Moonaf, are you holding any fancy price tickets on any World Series or anything?
I'm actually not. I don't have a single ticket on any World Series or any pennant titles here. I'm actually shocked about that because I usually have it, but I'm always like betting it game by game because, you know, we've talked about how there's great situations. There's a lot of prop bets that books is typically put out just because it's a playoff game. And where you can kind of pick them apart. You know, we were talking about this in the Slack channel too, Malcolm, is that, you know, you're looking at home run props, but there's also, you know, guys that are at plus money that can score runs. And I think I gave out Wander Franco and Randy Arozarena, I think in game three, for them to score runs. And they were both at plus money. I mean, come on, man. These guys are your two table setters. It's a race they're going to score runs. It's going to start with these two guys. But as far as futures, I may have to look at it once we get to the conference championship here. I mean, at that point, it's probably going to be too late to get a good money price down, but I'm just taking it game by game.
Yeah, I think we got my fingers burned on Trey Turner on that first kind of player prop. And that put me off a little bit, although it absolutely shouldn't have done because I think the process was right. I've got some 14-1 Red Sox, Moonaf.
Okay.
That's my only one.
There we go.
Again, not much. I've just checked my little cash out there. I can cash it out for £3.65 as we speak. So if I was getting over to PropSwap, I'd want a bit more than that. But yeah, I got some 14-1 just for a little bit of fun. So yeah, I'm live, which is all you can ask for at this point. Last up then, before we get into the picks, Dodgers Giants, Moonaf. Talk us through that one.
Yeah, this series, I think the most... interesting series that we can, talk when we talked about with Davis probably has the most eyes on from a sportsbook perspective because of all the liabilities that are on the San Francisco Giants. Again, you have two California teams and, you know, with the name Dodgers, it's always going to be a fun series. And obviously with the Giants that have had a great season so far and won the NL West there. But game one, we talked about Logan Webb, how dominant he had been at home. And again, that came into fruition. Giants won that game 4-0, 7-2, thirds inning, 5 hits, 10 strikeouts for Logan Webb there. And the Giants, they got to Buehler early in the first inning. Buster Posey hit that 2-run home run, got out to that 2-0 lead. And that's pretty much all they needed in that game. You know, Logan Webb, like I said, was amazing. Game two, I think I had actually bet on the Dodgers because, you know, Julio Urias, probably one of the most underrated pitchers in this entire season because he's getting overshadowed by the names that are on this Dodgers pitching staff. Like we've talked about when they had Trevor Bauer early in the season, Clayton Kershaw, they added Max Scherzer. And if we asked a casual fan on who was the leader in wins for the National League, I don't think they would have even mentioned Julio Urias. So, you know, it was a great outing by him, both pitchers. You know, the Dodgers tagged Kevin Gausman for 4 earned runs in 5 innings. They added 5 more against their bullpen, got the comfortable win 9-2 there. Game three goes off tonight between Alex Wood and Max Scherzer. And I think this is going to be a very interesting matchup, Malcolm, because Max Scherzer, you know, we went through his numbers with the NL wild card game, so we're not going to go through that again, but for Max Scherzer, I think this game, he needs to have better command and location tonight against the Giants because he struggled with that against the Cardinals. Luckily, Cardinals offense didn't go off in that game. There was a lot of 3-2 counts that the Cardinals got him to, but they got on base, but they weren't able to produce any runs off of those walks. So, and again, the crazy part is that the Max Scherzer doesn't have any appearances over the last, I think, 2 to 3 seasons against the Giants. So I think this is very interesting. I think we can start with the conversation is, for me, I think Max Scherzer has the advantage over the Giants because the Giants haven't seen his pitching, right? He has different type of pitches in his arsenal. He has the heater. He has the curveball and everything that the Giants haven't seen. And Alex Wood, again, I'll go through his numbers, then we can go back to Max Scherzer. 10-4, 3.83 ERA, 1.18 whip on the season. Road splits, I think this is a little concerning. He is 3-2 on the road, but he has a 4.2 ERA. Opponent batting average on the road is 282. So I think that's something that we need to keep in mind. And the numbers aren't pretty against the Dodgers either. Three appearances, 0-2 with a 4.76 ERA. 17 innings pitched, 20 hits allowed, 9 earned runs, 5 home runs he's given up. 22 strikeouts to 3 walks. Dodgers are batting .290 against Alex Wood. Game logs, he's pitched against them 3 times. 6 innings, 6 innings, 5 innings. He's allowed a combined, 20 hits. He's given up 9 earned runs. The interesting part here is that he's getting the strikeouts against them, right? He has 22 strikeouts. He's had 7 or more in all 3 of those starts. So I think that if there's a strikeout prop, maybe take a look at that. You might be getting a discounted price there. But I think, Malcolm, I wanted to ask you about Max Scherzer. That, do you think he has the advantage tonight over the Giants, because the Giants haven't seen him in, you know, in so long, in about 2 to 3 seasons?
I don't know. The Max Scherzer, are you taking Max Scherzer because he's called Max Scherzer? Are you taking Max Scherzer's stats over the season? Or with a little bit of recency bias, are you taking Max Scherzer over his last 4 example, because it fits, 3 outings? So he didn't pitch well against the Cardinals. He looked quite frustrated when he came out. However, I think the manager was absolutely right to hook him, because he wasn't pitching well, first and foremost. And then before that, you go to there's a start against San Diego and starts against Colorado, where he's given up 5 runs in 5 innings twice.
Yeah.
So that's, you're nearly getting back for the last 3 or 4 weeks. He hasn't pitched well. Do you want to take minus 200 against someone with those stat lines? However, no. Exactly. I don't think you would if I'd redacted the names and given you that. You'd absolutely take the 13-8 against Alex Wood, or you'd certainly be making the book closer together. This might just be another thing where the books just want the Dodgers to take the Giants out. However, it is Max Scherzer. He is an absolute stud of the sport. So he could easily come out and throw 7, 8 innings of no-run ball as well. The Giants will be prepared. I don't think Scherzer will have anything for them that they're not expecting or willing to put up with, because they've been like that all season. Nothing has caught the Giants out. They've left no stone unturned. Yeah, it's a close game. I couldn't be taking the Dodgers at that price, that's all. By all means, you can tell me that they're more likely to win the game, but certainly not minus 200.
Yeah, and I don't think you want to lay a minus 200 price, especially in the playoffs, right? And I think that you hit the nail on the head is when you said that, are you betting on Max Scherzer, the name, or are you looking at his stats that he hasn't been great over the past couple starts, or even in the month of September, like you mentioned, against the Rockies and against the Padres, and again, not a great start against the Cardinals either. So, you know, are we going to see which Max Scherzer are we going to see? And I think that first inning will tell us everything that we need to know. And again, this is where we talk about live betting opportunities, that, you know, if your book offers various type of props, that if you're able to find a, you know, strikeouts prop on your live betting, or if you're able to find a total outs issued on your live betting, that might be something to look at. But I don't want to lay that minus 200 price. I think this is going to be one of the games that I'm probably completely staying away from today, just because that price is way too steep on the Dodgers and Max Scherzer.
Yeah, completely agree with you. That's another one where you might be waiting for a live bet, I think, until you see something with your eye, because if he shows a bit of classic Scherzer command and control through that first inning, then live bet the under or something like that. So, yeah, that would be a great bit of advice there. We would have to pick that game. Okay, so that's all 4 series analysed and looked at. Picks then, let's do it. I made a couple. I stuck to one game tonight. Moonaf, we'll let you lead off. How many picks did you make? Where did you get them from?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to talk through these games first and kind of see where the value is, or what we're kind of looking at. And I'm kind of getting pointed towards taking the under tonight in the White Sox and the Astros game. I know we've seen a lot of offense in this game, and I think that, you know, we do have Carlos Rodon, and I think the biggest question mark will be, what are we going to get out of Carlos Rodon? Is it going to be a couple innings, or are they going to let him go the full 5 innings, because he has just been so dominant against the Astros this season? I think, you know, 2 games is especially in this type of season, it's a good enough sample. But Jose Urquidy hasn't been that bad either for the Astros, so I'm taking a look at taking the under in the under nine in the Astros in the White Sox game this afternoon. Goes off around, I believe, 3:37 Eastern time. So I'll take the under in that game, under nine. And I think E-Rod gets it done tonight for the Red Sox. I know we talked about he's had an up and down game log against the Rays this season. I think that being back at home, you're asking him in one game to go out and pitch and try to get you, you know, four or five innings before they probably turn it over to the bullpen. I think that, you know, the Red Sox can get to Colin McHugh also here early. So I'm going to take the Red Sox money line tonight, and then I'm going to take the under in the Astros and the White Sox game, under nine in that game.
Okie doke. Yeah, that under in the White Sox Astros games, and a nice looking price. I've got under 8.5 at 21-20, so plus 105. Yeah, so that's quite a tempting offer there. I'm going to have to moon a fly in the face of your pick on this. Well, not necessarily, actually. There is a way we can both win. But I've gone to Boston versus Tampa. And I just think tonight I'm expecting a bit of a masterclass in sort of how Tampa will just... the analytical victory. I'm expecting Tampa to get to E-Rod, to trot out that lineup, one of their specially put together lineups with all these OPB guys against the left-handed pitching. My two picks, I've gone Tampa Bay runs over 4.5 mm-hmm. at -110 and over 5.5 at +190. Okay. So sort of split stakes on those, whether you want to go 60-40 or 70-30% of your stakes on those two things, because I do think they can get to them. However, Boston's pre-September offense has shown up as well. So this could easily be. I mean, I could win my bet and then Boston wins 7-6, moon off. We could do that. Also, I've just thrown out a little pizza bet on something we've done earlier in the season as well, successfully a couple of times. It's a Wander Franco home run. It's 7-1. I do think these lefties couldn't get to him. Zunino was too short a price. He was +450. But 7-1 Wander Franco, just for a little fiver, win some beer money on that. So they're my picks for tonight, Muna.
I like it. Hopefully it's the Red Sox that are up 6-0 by the end of five innings. So number one, you win your bet of over 5.5, over 4.5 in those games. And then your 14-1 ticket is also looking good. And maybe Franco steals or puts in a home run over the monster when it's kind of out of reach for the Rays. So that's what we're kind of praying for tonight. But four games tonight, all day long. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know we have one going off here in an hour and a half or so. So definitely looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, that's perfect timing, Moonaf. I will be in the bath, as always, watching that. Be in my happy place, watching the baseball come 6:07 tonight.
There we go.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. So we'll be back. I think we're going to go again tomorrow, Moonaf. Have another look at these. or certainly in the next 36 hours anyway.
Yeah.
Plenty more postseason baseball to come. It's thick and fast, and we won't miss anything here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. As always, rate, review, thumbs up, 5-star, you name it, whatever you get to do. Moonaf, thank you very much for joining me.
Yes, sir.
I'll press play on my paused Sky Sports breaking news and see if Steve Bruce has got sacked. And in the meantime, enjoy the games tonight. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Good luck with your bets. We'll see you down the road. Cheers.